As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And a very good morning, our daylight savings crew. The sun is rising over Missouri. It's time for our Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. You can be a part of it. Welcome to the Monday, March the 9th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. That's oraclebroadcasting.com. We're on the web, www.vocallocal.org and ozarksvoter.info. Log on and check those two sites out today. My name is William Roberts, and I've got, once again, good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become a vocal local. I like to think of this as the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of today's game, and to be a part of this broadcast, it's easily done. You can sign in, pick a name, and become vocal local in the oraclebroadcasting.com chat room, as others already have, or simply pick up the telephone and call in. You can call from anywhere around Austin, Texas area, or if you have unlimited long distance or some one of these very interesting iPhone-type jobbies, you too can get involved here. Just call 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call toll-free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome throughout the broadcast. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at host@vocallocal.org. Again, that's host@vocallocal.org. I want to thank all of you that have sent emails in so far. I've got some very interesting research to pore over, and hopefully we'll be reporting on that news shortly, if not today, another day. And for those without internet access, listening via any of our many affiliate stations and micro-broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, the Big Mo, to me. That's 65647. Again, that is Box 96, Exeter, Missouri, 65647. The websites, once more, are vocallocal.org and ozarksvoter.info. The listener call-in number remains 866-841-1065, and the Oracle chat room is open. I don't know if any of you were staying up late on Saturday night, but we had the Oracle Unplugged, kind of an impromptu round circle, a wonderful time for 2 hours worth of live radio. Those archives are out there. We were talking about philosophical radicalism and all kinds of interesting things, so do check out those archives. Today's market reports, why the gold is bobbing along happily above $930 an ounce. We're going to go into Economics 101, bring in some of the authors to add to the encyclopedic studies that we've had in the past. Of course, we will put another chapter or another edition or another segment, if you will, towards our historical foundation on economic order. And we'll take your calls and much more. Let's go into those market reports for today. Active trading in New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or 1 hour ago. Gold was trading up 70 cents at $939.10. Again, up 70 cents at $939.10. Silver was trading flat so far in the morning, $13.33. I guess they just like those 33s and 13. Want to hold it there for a moment, I suppose. Platinum trading off $5 at $1,065, $1,065 for a troy ounce of platinum. Palladium was off $5 at $199 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed out $32.50 above. Anyway, we'll pick that up on the other side. I hear the music coming. Stay with us.
Are
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Learn how to empower yourself and stop being a victim today.
You can practice complete banking secrecy, all while protecting your money and maintaining complete control over your finances.
The book Privacy Crisis has nearly 400 carefully researched pages that will teach you how to
live beneath the radar, escape stalkers, outwit identity thieves, prevent government phone tapping, stop criminals from hacking into your computer, make your money and assets invisible, stop wage garnishments, get a permanent driver's license, and much, much more.
You can sign up for Grant Hall's free info series at privacycrisis.com. Each course outlines powerful and proven strategies from one of the world's top privacy experts.
Here's your chance to begin learning what the pros know at privacycrisis.com. That website again is privacycrisis.com.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to this Monday morning's March the 9th, 2009 broadcast to Become Vocal Local. Had to beat Big Ben around the living room this morning after he was ringing his little head off an hour too early for my likings. But we are on daylight savings time. I don't know who's saving anything. It seems like it's much more expensive. Already had to have a little bit of heat on to make my day start off right. I don't know about y'all, but if you haven't tried the hemp powder in your coffee, you might want to give it a shot. Just kind of throw that out there. I tried a tablespoon of hemp powder and make my coffee over the weekend. Not only did it clean out the coffee pot, amazingly, I use a percolator coffee pot and it's shiny clean inside. Now, I don't know if it's going to do that to the pipes inside of me as well, but it definitely had a change, and it makes a rather delightful cup of coffee. Nevertheless, going back into those market numbers once again, gold was up in active trading New York time, 9 o'clock this morning, up 70 cents to 939.10. Silver was flat at 1333. Platinum was off $5 to 1065. Palladium was down $5 at 199. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, this was not trading actively at 9 o'clock. I don't know whether the bell starts at 10 or what it is. But anyway, it was up 32.50 on Friday, still at 6,627. The NASDAQ, similarly, it was off $5.74 on Friday, apparently, trading 1,294. The USDX up $1.03 or 103 basis points at 89.20. That's a big, strong move there. And crude oil was off 4 cents, trading $45.48. In the market, the spot market, lows and highs came in the bell around 931.70, trading around 941 for a high. So it's got about a $10 spread. As I said, it's gold is bobbing along happily above the 930 mark, but not up trading in the $1,000 mark as it was last week or so. Going into the foreign exchange, we've talked that about that a little bit, and we're going to discuss foreign exchange even more. But let's look at our four trading partners, Canada peso, the Mexican peso, the euro, and the British pound. Today, the Canadian dollar is running about 77 cents on the U.S. dollar. So for 77 cents U.S., you can buy one Canadian dollar. The Mexican peso is trading about 15.32 pesos for dollars, so it's about 7 cents. The euro, if you want to buy a euro, you're going to have to reach deep in your pocket and pull up a buck and 26 cents to buy one, and the British pound is even stronger than that. It's going to cost you $1.38 U.S. to buy a British pound. So there's your foreign exchange rates, your gold, your silver. You know, it's all just funny money anyway. In the manipulated market that exists in the global system, who knows what any of these numbers mean. Let's go into a couple of articles I pulled off the web for you. This out of Reuters London from Jan Harvey, a writer that I've been following now for a little while. Gold steadies off lows as equity weakness supports. What on earth is that? Somebody's jumping in here talking to me. I thought I had all those sounds turned off. Nevertheless, once again, gold steadies off lows as equity weakness supports. Here's the article, Reuters again. Gold steadied in Europe on Monday, that would be today, early morning Monday, recovering some of its earlier losses with weaknesses in equities providing some support as the metal consolidated after the last session's gains. Again, we're going to focus our attention on these equities and these various exchange-traded funds. Here's some more from the article. Traders shrugged off an outflow of metal from exchange-traded funds last week, which saw the world's largest gold-backed ETF record its first decline since January the 8th. Spot gold was little changed at 938 to 939.10 an ounce. Blah, 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 blah. Early it dropped, blah, blah, blah. Let's drop down. I want to pick this up here. Gold recovered pretty well last week, but ran out of steam between 940 and 950, said Simon Weeks, the head of precious metals at the Bank of Nova Scotia, Scotia Mocato, I think it is. There is still a consolidation process going on, he said. And this is the important part here. Interest in gold was largely being dictated by moves in the wider financial markets. The SPDR Gold Trust, the world's largest gold-backed ETF, recorded its first outflow since January the 8th on Friday, its holdings dipping 0.3 tons, or 9,454 ounces, on that session. We'll come back to that in a moment. Let me just jump in here and say we're looking at what's happening here with the gold market. Let us remind ourselves or be ever mindful of the presence or the existence of these various exchange-traded funds that are out there. They have massive quantities of gold, whether anyone has ever seen it physically or not. They have a massive amount of gold, and when they play around in these markets, for those of you that might be holding 2 ounces or 4 or 8 ounces of gold, these people come in and start gyrating around with 9 and 10 tons of gold at a time. You should be able to see a correlative change in the price of gold. So there's something to keep in your mind there, definitely. Let's go into it a little bit further here. UBS analyst John Reed said the gold holdings of the 9 major ETFs the bank follows fell to 48.30 million ounces. You got the idea there, what I'm trying to bring to your mind? On March the 6th, from a revised total of 48.40 million ounces. See, even if they just move a .10 in the million ounces range, you're talking a couple of shekels. Big changes. Continuing demand for the precious metal from the ETFs, which issue securities backed by physical stock of gold, was a major price driver earlier in the year. However, traders say they expect these inflows to resume. So we've got this idea that these large ETFs have the opportunity and the desire, of course, to buy and sell in the physical gold market. And the ETFs allow lots of people to come in and buy small dollar shares like $50, $60, $100, $76, I think is what SPDR is trading right now at, around $76.32, if my memory serves me right. And so for $76.32, you can buy into this thing. You're not really holding any physical gold, but you're a player in the market. And, of course, if you happen to be a small town and you're trying to secure your pension funds or something like that, and so instead of buying one of the insurance products, maybe from AIG, which is on its face and quivering in the sand, you would turn perhaps to one of the various gold exchange-traded funds or the silver exchange-traded funds. That's what I'm trying to get into your thought process here. Back again. He says, I think there will be enough worrying news in the first half of 2009 for ETF demand to remain solid, said David Thurtell, an analyst at Citigroup. So here again, now listen to what he's talking about. Enough worrying news in the first half of 2009 for the ETF demand to remain solid. So as we have heard many, many times about investors going into gold and silver or the precious metal seeking safe haven, as you hear more and more of the symptomology and the victimology, more of the frightening fear factor news, expect more trading in those markets. We'll be back.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over two decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy, my name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, Exposing the Secret Plans of the World's Elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Okay, well, maybe I should just whip my dog and get her to start barking so that everybody can have a little bit of fear with their morning toast. You know, we're always led into this nonsense about fear and worry and worry and fear and doubt and fear and worry and rumble, mutiny. But there are other things to think about each day as we start the week. Going back here again to our article from Reuters News Service, you know, you can't trust everything you get off the news wires. Reuters has been a Rothschild baby for a long time. It might not be any longer. Maybe they've gotten out of it, but at least when I was studying up on them, they were. Anyway, back into our news article here. The deficit among the other external drivers of gold, okay, other external drivers of gold, the dollar firmed up in early trading against the euro as weak equity markets weighed on the single currency. Meanwhile, the yen fell as Japan posted its first current account deficit in 13 years. Over the weekend, when I wasn't preparing for other broadcasts and doing other things, like baking a wonderful salmon for supper on Saturday, that was yummy. But while I was doing my research tasks, I spent most of my time reading either from Milton and Rose Friedman's Free to Choose book or back into Ludwig von Mises, his lengthy treatise on socialism, and I'm going to share a little bit from both of those today, and also going back on the web, looking more and deeper into this gold trust, the SPDR gold trust, the prospectus. Very interesting reading, folks, if you haven't followed my suggestion and gone there and looked it up. That would be interesting. Also, you might want to take a look at the International Monetary Fund's website. That's another one, the Bank for International Settlements. There's a lot out there, you know, that we just don't hear about. And it really makes me want to scratch my head when some of the leading newsletter writers, I'll leave his name out right now, but when they look at these gold-traded or gold-backed ETFs and just sort of poo-poo them, makes you kind of wonder when we're selling ounces of gold and numismatic coins by the onesie twosies and the tens and the twelves. There happens to be an elephant in the room, and they're trading in the tons range. So certainly there's going to be something we should be paying attention to. Volatility in the foreign exchange markets has made gold increasingly attractive to investors as an alternative to paper currencies. Now, when we talk about investors, you're not talking about you and I that might hold an ounce of gold here or there. We're talking about people that are in the game big time. And they're not buying physical gold, I don't think. I think what they're doing is they're playing around in these exchange-traded funds, and we should be paying attention to it. Let's go in here a little bit further to Jan's article. While the financial environment remains poor and a number of currencies struggle under the weight of bloated balance sheets, gold is expected to remain an important element in portfolio management at the personal, professional, and central bank level, said Standard Bank in a monthly note. If you remember when we first started out our journey here onto this inquiry into the origin and the history of the new economic order, the first article that I shared with you was in regards to the International Bank of Settlements. The BIS, the central banker's central bank, so to speak. And we looked at the International Monetary Fund, where every one of the countries were pledged both gold and currencies to create this fund. And from that, then they started opening the doors to international buying and selling and loaning to support economic development programs and projects, etc. And so we see gold is expected to remain as an important element in portfolio management at the personal, professional, and central bank level. I think we need to be paying attention. Oil prices, meanwhile, ticked up to $46 a barrel as investors expected OPEC will cut output at its production meeting this month. And, of course, you all listening to this network know that OPEC is a cartel. And the Friedmans, in their book Free to Choose, had much to say about that. But this is basically monopoly capitalism, and they're playing monopoly with your gas gauge and mine. Demand for gold from jewelry buyers in traditionally strong markets such as India and China. Went back into the encyclopedia and studied up on India, China, and Japan. Very interesting, working through those various models, economic systems. Anyway, that demand remained weak. However, Scrap sales are also putting pressure on premiums for gold bars, and we've talked about that. The physical side, here's a quote, is still in the selling mode, said one Hong Kong-based dealer. Now, is the selling mode a good thing or is the selling mode a bad thing? We have to ask ourselves if we know anything about this at all. They're precious metals, blah, 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 blah. Let's just pass on the rest of that article. Here's an interesting one. This one off Bloomberg. Last Friday, pulled this one off after we got off the radio here. Volcker urges dividing the investment and the commercial banks. Now, in our study here, we haven't quite gotten to that chapter. I might start that today if we have time, perhaps in the second hour later in this. We'll go in and look at the definitions, the encyclopedic studies on investment banking and commercial banking. But here, this article on the 6th by Matthew Benjamin and Christine Harper off Bloomberg, here's the article. Commercial banks should be separated from investment banks in order to avoid another crisis like the U.S. is experiencing, according to former Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker. Now, are you going to take anything that he has to say with in a grain of salt? Can you take the word of the architect of doom and disaster and financial collapse, and do you follow his advice, or do you run 100 miles an hour in the other direction? If he's saying one thing, I think we ought to be paying attention to what the other hand is doing, but let's go in here and give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe we ought to have a kind of two-tier financial system, Volcker, who heads President Barry the Usurper's Economic Recovery Advisory Board, said today at a conference in New York's University's Stern School of Business. I would ask what the H he's doing at the University's Stern School of Business and have, instead of having his butt down in Washington, but I guess he probably gets speaker's fees for this. If he's going to head up an advisory board, he ought to be doing some advising because we need his help right now if there was ever a time for it. Back into this again, it says commercial banks would provide customers with depository services and access to credit and would be highly regulated, while securities firms would have the freedom to take on more risk and practice trading relatively free of regulation, Volcker said. You know, most of the problem that we have in the economy is the government manipulation. If we had a free trade system going, we would have fewer, if any, of these problems bothering us. But here, what they're saying, basically, is that there will be a separation between these commercial banks and the investment banking systems. One would be more regulated, the other would have more freedom. You better pay attention to the ones that Volcker wants to give more freedom. That freedom might come in trillions and trillions of dollars worth of bailout. Dropping down in the article here, he says, Volcker's remarks indicated his preference for reinstating some of the divisions between commercial and investment banks that were removed by Congress's repeal in 1999 of the Great Depression-era Glass-Steagall Act. So maybe he's getting a moment of conscience. Maybe he's starting to realize that the getting rid of the Glass-Steagall Act wasn't such a good idea and that it was necessary to eliminate the Glass-Steagall Act in order to make this financial tsunami possible. Volcker's proposals included in a January report he wrote with the Group of 30. Now, what's Group of 30? We hear about the G7, the G8, the G30. This is International Monetary Fund people. These are the various bankers and governors of the International Monetary Fund. You can go up on their website, the IMF website. Just Google it, Google it, Dogpilot, Webcert, however you browse, and just browse in for the International Monetary Fund. And on one of the first pages, you should be able to see the organizational structure. And that's who the G7 and G8 and the G30 are. We'll be back.
You are now listening to Oracle Broadcasting, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Lee Rogers here. The global controllers are continuing their quest to enslave humanity and form their new world order. The one thing standing in their way are free thinkers who reject collectivism and support individual liberty. In these troubled times, it is imperative that we the people are not destroyed for our lack of knowledge, but are instead empowered with information. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com are two of the best sources of alternative news and information on the internet. Whether it's geopolitics, globalism, government corruption, the unraveling global economy, staged elections, false flag terrorism, the technological control grid, martial law, the police state, or other issues of real significance, you'll find them on these websites. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com feature raw, fully sourced information with no intrusive advertisements. Be sure to visit these sites and empower yourself with the news and information the corporate controlled Mockingbird don't want you to know about.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Yes, and we are back right here at Oracle Broadcasting Network. And folks, the call-in numbers remain 512-904-8014 from the Austin area, internationally, around America, and around the world. You can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065 if I've hit your hot button. We're talking about a little bit more about the financial news. We're talking about financial things. Trying to wrap our minds around economic issues. I know a lot of you haven't studied economy. I haven't studied economics myself. I've read a lot. I maybe have 20 or more books in my library on economics. But nevertheless, that book knowledge does not necessarily make you conversant in this stuff, and it surely doesn't make you an economic advisor. I would never say that I'm that. I'm just an independent researcher like so many of you. Nevertheless, there's a lot happening right now on an economic standpoint, and it all rolls into the political standpoint. So politics and economy are like bedfellows. They cannot be separated. They work one with the other. Every time we hear about some economic situation, we turn right around and find it either being enshrined in statutes or executive orders or something else going on. They're inseparably linked, interdependent, to use that foul term. But let's go back into this article here again, because it's important, I think, to understand that when Paul Volcker starts going around giving talks and seminars, talking about the redividing of investment and commercial banks, we're about to see some things happening that will be happening below the radar screen. And if we can follow and track that accurately, we might be able to tell when the Indians come over the top of the hill, so to speak. Back again to this article, separation. What is he talking about? What used to be the traditional investment banks, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, and so forth, which used to do some underwriting and mergers and acquisitions, are dominated by other activities which we would exclude. very, and these are the ones he would exclude, very heavy proprietary trading, hedge funds, etc. So there's some separations to be made. Again, here's another one from a little bit more from Jean Marie McFadden, a spokeswoman for Morgan Stanley, declined to comment on these issues. A Goldman Sachs spokesman couldn't be immediately reached, so the big wigs aren't wanting to talk about it, apparently. Volcker also said that international regulations on financial terms or firms are probably inevitable consequences of the industry's current problems. In other words, folks, there's a shakeup going on. There's a whole lot of shaking going on in the American banking system. But, of course, it's bigger than that. Here's another quote from Volcker. In this world, I don't see how we can avoid international consistency, close quote, on securities regulations going forward, he said. Quote, the U.S. is no longer in a position to dictate that the world does it according to the way we've done it, close quote. Like Burger King, Prince Charles' little sideline business. Do it your way. Well, the United States is not calling the tune, apparently, and this is what Paul Volcker is trying to say. Volcker's comments come as President Barry the Kenyan mulatto, seeks legislative proposals within weeks for a regulatory overhaul of finance. As if Barry had that idea himself, of course, especially companies deemed vital to the stability of the financial system. Once again, that hints or haunts us with the idea of something that's too big to fail, even though Jimmy Rogers had some very dim comments on that too big to fail thing last week. You probably heard the clips. Here's a little bit more on the Glass-Steagall. Have you ever looked into Glass-Steagall Act? It's GLASS-STEAGALL, Glass-Steagall Act. You might throw that up in the web browser this morning and do some research on it. The new regulatory framework may stop short of reinstating Glass-Steagall, experts said. Though banks may separate their business lines in order to avoid strong regulatory scrutiny. Avoiding strong regulatory scrutiny. I guess we're just going to throw things back under the blanket again. Volcker, who ran the Fed from 79 to 87, said the financial industry's problems stem from larger issues. Quote, I don't think this is just a technical problem. It's a societal problem, he said. He cited bankers on Wall Street receiving multi-million dollar bonuses for engineering failed mergers. This is the old magician's trick. Don't watch what he's doing with his right hand. Just keep your eyes on that left as he whips another bank merger out of his right pocket. Here he is. He's basically saying that the banking problems are not a technical problem. It's a societal problem. Let's go ahead and blame the Wall Street bankers, brokers, for receiving multi-million dollar bonuses. When you're dealing in trillions of dollars worth of currencies or securities or exchanges, when you're running your life on, it's not bonuses, what it is, commission. When you live according to commissions, you get larger rewards. You earn more money, let's say. Okay? So singling out some of these Wall Street guys, they've accepted the job. They're in the business. This is what they do for a living. Yeah, they take risk, but they make other people one gob at a bunch of money. And for that, they get paid commissions and bonuses. If you've ever been involved in a corporation or a company where you actually were bringing in, doing volume sales, professional services, you get bonuses from time to time. When you bring in big contracts, you get the attaboys and the pats on the head. I don't see anything out untoward about that. That's kind of like the incentive for going the extra mile and spending so many evenings sitting there having scotches and dining with people that you would ordinarily not necessarily want to dine with, trying to woo them into a business contract. And once you get the contract, you get the bonus, you make the commission. So anyway, basically, Volcker is simply saying he's pointing at the people that are actually inside and working inside this system. And he's blaming them, those that receive the compensation for their services, instead of looking at the technical problem. Maybe he should say in this article somewhere, and the Fed. But he doesn't. He says here, there's something wrong with the system. What are the incentives and what's going on here? I think we're all asking that question, Mr. Volker. Why don't you get down to it? Quit beating around the bush. That guy really irks me. Here's another one. Here's another article. This one off of Market Watch, Santa Monica, California. Thomas Costigan, Market Watch. His headline here is The $700 Trillion Elephant. His commentary is on the gargantuan derivatives market, which weighs on all other issues. You notice there wasn't any mention in Volcker's article here, this article about Volcker and his comments. There was no mention here about the $700 trillion elephant, the derivatives market, the derivatives bubble. You know, everybody now is talking derivatives, derivatives, derivatives. But I remember a man named Brian, who was a frequent caller on a variety of different broadcasts on WBCQ and WWCR and some of the other shortwave frequencies that I used to listen to back when shortwave was the king and internet was still a dream. But there was a man not many years ago who came on, and he was a New York insider, and he was warning about the derivatives. His name is Brian from New York. Anybody knows Brian from New York? Brian, I'd love to talk to you. Haven't heard from you in a long, long time. Brian from New York. And he was miles ahead of anybody else, and he was trying to do his very best, level-headed best, to talk about it, to warn about the upcoming disaster in the derivatives markets, years and years ahead of any of the newsletter writers. But let's go into this article here from MarketWatch. There's a $700 trillion elephant in the room, and it's time we found out how much it really weighs on the economy, writes Thomas Costigan. Derivative contracts total about three-quarters of a quadrillion dollars in, quote-unquote, notional amounts. According to the Bank for International Settlements, here's our BIS again, these contracts are tallied in notional values because no one can really say how much they're worth. God almighty. You can't put a dollar figure on this stuff. But valuing them correctly is exactly what we should be doing, because these comprise the viral disease that has infected the financial markets and the economies of the world. And so while everyone is focusing on gold and silver or their latest stock shares, once again, we're trapped inside of this insanity of symptomology and victimology. As one little small-town bank or one manufacturer after another goes down, we're focused on the symptoms and the victims of a greater disease. And here our author says, it's a great viral disease that has infected the financial markets and the economies of the world. Always trying to correctly analyze, diagnose, and isolate the disease. That's where we can start to find our solutions. And so this author is pointing again to this derivatives market. Try as we might, continuing from the article, try as we might to salvage, I like that word, salvage. Salvage the residential real estate market. We'll be back on the other side. Stay with us.
MySafe. Many people do not realize how effective a marketing tool it can be. CTWPromotions.com understands your needs. All of their campaigns are fully customized and targeted to each client individually. Whether you have a music/business or a freedom/patriot-related profile, CTW can and will help you get more out of your MySpace profile than you ever could yourself. Clients may typically receive upwards of 2,000 new targeted friends, fans, and networking partners per week. Visit their website to review real testimonials and more. Unlike many others, we guarantee legitimate work. Please visit or email MikeCTW at www.ctwpromotions.com or promotions@conquertheworld.com. Again, that website is www.ctwpromotions.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now,
now. Go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Learn how to empower yourself and stop being a victim today.
You can practice complete banking secrecy, all while protecting your money and maintaining complete control over your finances.
The book Privacy Crisis has nearly 400 carefully researched pages that will teach you how to
live beneath the radar, escape stalkers, outwit identity thieves, prevent government phone tapping, stop criminals from hacking into your computer, make your money and assets invisible, stop wage garnishments, get a permanent driver's license, and much, much more.
You can sign up for Grant Hall's free info series at privacycrisis.com. Each course outlines powerful and proven strategies from one of the world's top privacy experts.
Here's your chance to begin learning what the pros know at privacycrisis.com. That website again is privacycrisis.com.
Okay, and we're back. As we're going into the break, I just started in talking about the salvaging of the residential real estate market. You know, I went up on the whitehouse.gov website earlier this morning and looked at the transcript of Barry the Usurper's speech over the weekend, Saturday. I guess his little address to the nation, his attempt at fireside chatting, certainly good script writing, but he said nothing. He said nothing. He keeps looking at healthcare, you know, as being some kind of a solution for what's going on here. He said nothing. I mean, when are we gonna just say enough is enough of this nonsense? I've had plenty of it. I hope you have too. I had all of Barry the Usurper's presidency at the inauguration. That was enough for me. I've had all I could stand of him. Nevertheless, his Paul Volcker and the rest of his crew are not addressing the real issues. Listen here now. Try as we might to salvage the residential real estate market, it's at best worth $23 trillion in the U.S. $23 trillion. If you were to take the entire U.S. residential market, $23 trillion. We're struggling to save the stock market, but that's valued at less than $15 trillion. Take the entire stock market and everything that goes on there, $15 trillion. And we hope to keep the entire U.S. economy from collapsing yet. The gross domestic product stands at somewhere in the neighborhood of $14.2 trillion. So we got $23 trillion in the residential real estate market, $15 trillion in the stock market, and $14.2 trillion in gross domestic product. Now the author continues and he says rightly, compare any of these to the derivatives market and you can easily see that we are just closing the windows as a tsunami crashes to shore. The total value of all the stock markets in the world amounts to less than $50 trillion, according to the World Federation of Exchanges. To be sure, the derivatives market is international, but much of the trouble we are in began with contracts derived from the values associated with the U.S. residential real estate market. These contracts were engineered based on various assumptions tied to those values. Few know what derivatives are worth. I spoke with one derivatives trader who manages billions of dollars, and she said she couldn't even value her portfolio because, quote, no one knows anymore who is on the other side of the trade, close quote. Derivatives pricing, simply put, is determined by what someone else is willing to pay for the contract. I'll just jump in there for a moment and say that the real value or the real price of anything is the lowest amount that a seller is willing to accept for his goods or services and the highest price that a buyer is willing to buy or willing to pay for those same goods or services. And that's where you establish the real price in price theory. Let's go back here again. The value is based on an artificial scenario that X, will be worth Y if Z happens. But if you strip away the fantasy, the reality of this situation is similar to a game of musical chairs played without any musical chairs. And so now the music has finally stopped, our author writes. That's why stabilizing the housing market will do little to take the sting out of the snapback we're going through on Wall Street. Once people's mortgages were sold off to secondary buyers, and then all sorts of crazy types of derivative securities were devised based on those, and those securities were in turn traded on down the line, there is now little, if any, relevance to the real estate values on which they were pegged. The author says, we need to identify and determine the real value of derivatives before we give banks and institutions a pass go with more tax dollars. Otherwise, homeowners will suffer as banks patch up the holes left in their balance sheets by the derivatives gone poof. New credit won't be extended until the wrath of old credit is put behind. It isn't the housing market devaluation or the subprime market defaults that have got us in real trouble. Those are nice fakes to sway the attention away from the place where greed truly flourished, trading phony instruments to the tune of $700 trillion U.S. Now let's figure out how to get out from under that. Then maybe the capital will begin to flow again through the markets. Right now, this elephant isn't just in the room. It's sitting on top of us. Good article there out of Market Watch. Thank you, Thomas Kostigan. So, some more inside information, if you will, on what's happening on the financial level. Let's move out of the finances from that standpoint and go over to something a little bit more interesting, at least to me, maybe for you as well. We've got about 4 or 5 minutes left in this segment. I'll start in with a little bit of wisdom from Ludwig von Mises. His heavy treatise here, Socialism, an Economic and Sociological Analysis. And for those of you who are not familiar who Mr. von Mises is, Ludwig, he basically is a guru now, revered by a great many of people. But von Mises in the Austrian School of Economics is much of what drives Ron Paul's political and financial outlook. And much of the Libertarian Party looks to von Mises' institute. So many others do as well, including myself. I look at this man's writings as being an about time someone wrote it point of view. I'm trying to get right here. This is going quickly. Here we are, trying to see if I can find out when this was originally published. Let me see if I can find an original publication date. Right off the bat, I'm not seeing it. Ludwig von Mises lived from 1881 to 1973. This book was copyrighted in 1981. The Jonathan Cape edition was published in 1969. And I can't believe that it was published that late in his life, so I don't see where his original publication date might be. But it might be anywhere between prior to his death in 1973. It could very well be a 1969 book I'm referring to. Once again, this is published by the Liberty Fund Books Company, Liberty Fund, Inc., and it's called Socialism, an Economic and Sociological Analysis. Here's just a little. We'll start with some and then come into the break and come back after the top of the hour. Here we go. Progress in the division of labor depends entirely on a realization of its advantages. Okay, so we're going to start off with the division of labor. The division of labor is an important concept, not only from an economic standpoint, but also from a social standpoint. When you break up something like an automobile into all of the little teeny parts and pieces, and you separate it out over a large strata of the populace. You've got AC Delco and Delco Remy and making the batteries and the starters and things, and you've got Gates Rubber Products making the belts and the hoses, and Goodyear making the tires, and Carnegie or somebody making the steel, and so on and so forth, and the GM, Body by Fisher, somebody's making the carpets, somebody's making the interior, you know, somebody's making the glass. You break it all up. The whole idea of the Industrial Revolution was largely based upon replacing manpower with motive power from various sources, industrializing the handcraft industry. And then beyond that, it was going into this division of labor, the highly specialized division of labor, that in regards to, let's say, an automobile sitting in your driveway, no one knows how to make an automobile because no one person made the automobile. No one could even begin to make an automobile. That's why it's ridiculous to say things like self-sufficiency. No one can be so sufficient that they can create an automobile from scratch all the way up. I don't know anybody that knows all of the various parts and pieces and could do that, including making the tires, etc. You've got to go all over the world to get all of the natural resources to make some of these things. And so it's a much bigger program. But this idea of progress in the division of labor, then, back to von Mises' work, depends entirely on a realization of its advantages. That is, of its higher productivity. We could not have done the things that we have done without and through the industrial age or the industrial revolution without an extensive division of labor. But we have to pay a price for that as well. The truth of this first became fully evident through the free trade doctrines of the physiocrats and the classical 18th century political economy. So classical economists go back to 18th century, and really and truly, we've got to get squarely firm down on Adam Smith and his Wealth of Nations. It's not mentioned here, but we're going to talk about it in the next hour. Here we go. More from von Mises. The free trade, or I should just say it again, the truth of this first became fully evident through the free trade doctrines, again, of the physiocrats and the classical 18th century political economy. But in rudiments, it is found in all arguments favoring peace. Peace. There is no peace. We'll pick it up on the other side for the second hour. Stay with us on Become Vocal Local.
Hi, folks. Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Oh, yes, we are back again into the begin the second hour of our two-hour broadcast here on Become Vocal Local on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. It is Monday, it is March the 9th, and we are now under daylight savings time. My name again is William Roberts, and if you missed the first hour, We started out with some pretty heavy financial reports and financial news, and now we're going into the background, the philosophy, the underlying, the underpinning socio-political and economic underpinnings of the new economic order. We just started in a little bit from our good friend Ludwig von Mises, back in the classical theorists, the idea of sound money. Really, there's so much involved in all that. We're going to continue that in a moment. But I will say that over the weekend, I experienced a new experience in coffee drinking. I put a tablespoon of hemp powder in with my regular coffee and was not only pleased with the flavor, the taste, but I was absolutely amazed in my stainless steel coffee boiler when I poured out the grounds and cleaned it all out. It was shining. What's going on with all of that? It cleans your coffee maker? What is it doing for the inside of me? Is it going to clean me out too? I hope so. That'll be really nice. It'll be interesting to see how that develops. But just food for thought, it's the one way that you can beef up your coffee a little bit and certainly use another tablespoon of your hemp powder. I bought the 5-pound canister, I guess you'll say, the plastic tub, and I'm amazed at the how many times I've dipped in there, and it's still plenty remaining. So a good value, good nutrition, one of our sponsors, and a place you could perhaps experiment cleaning out your coffee pot as you make better tasting coffee. Anyway, back into this discussion. This is a short segment of the day's broadcast. I think it's very, very, very important that we try and add to our knowledge bank from as many credible sources as we can. As we may have missed the Saturday night Oracle Unplugged session, we had Sean from Australia. We had Kyle Graw, and Doug Owen and myself in a roundtable. We were talking about all kinds of manners of things, largely focusing on philosophical issues and philosophical underpinnings. Great archive available of that broadcast. You might want to go back and check it out. But one of the things, the comments that John made during that was that we don't all have time to do all of our own research. And so even though I can say, hey, don't believe me, don't take my word for gospel, you know, I don't have a divine uplink here by any means, check it all out in your own research. Well, it's not possible for us all to check things out in our own research. So at least we need to come to an understanding that certain broadcasts like Oracle Broadcasting, and with the interactive capacity of the chat room and the call-in lines, again, the call-in number is 866-841-1065. If I misspeak on something or I bring something out that you disagree with, by all means, jump in. It's like an honesty check, a head check constantly, having both the chat room running and the call-in number, so we can rely more upon the information that's presented on these various broadcasts. And, of course, each of the broadcasters, you know, they listen to these programs as well. And so if somebody's going out into some hairball area that needs to be checked up on, you know, that's kind of a cross-check there. So Sean was right. We really can't do all of this research ourselves. We do need to rely upon certain people to help us with that. But one thing that you'll definitely develop the longer you listen to independent media, you can start to develop a sense of discernment where you sit back with a notepad and keep track of websites and books and titles and authors and interviews and things like that as they come along. But at the same time, you can just kind of let this information flow across you. And after a while, your own discernment will start telling you the difference between truth and fiction. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned in the second hour of today's broadcast, and as we are now joined by all of our affiliate stations and micro-broadcasters, welcome, welcome, and welcome back. We're going into Ludwig von Mises, a little bit of information from his great treatise called entitled Socialism, and let's pick it up where we left it off in the previous hour. The the truth of this first, again, and we're talking about the division of labor. The truth of this became fully evident through the free trade doctrines of the physiocrats and the classical 18th century political economists. But in rudiments, it's found in all arguments favoring peace, wherever peace is praised or war condemned. It's this struggle between war and peace. Continuing from von Mises here, history is a struggle between two principles. The peaceful principle, which advances the development of trade, and the militarist imperialist principle, which interprets human society not as a friendly division of labor, but as the forcible repression of some of its members by others. And in previous broadcasts, we pointed out Thomas Paine's admonition that governments are formed by robbers and barons and bandits, and that they are organized for war, and that they proceed to have war, and that they live by war. I think he's a bit strong, and I think that also that his use of terms might be a little bit peculiar, because I hold a completely different view between government and state. I think I've given my source material for that in the past by Andrew Galambos. There's a vast difference between the rise of statism and government. I don't find anything peculiar or unusual or harmful about government, but I certainly have ill feelings towards statists and statism. Anyway, let's go into it a little bit further along the lines of Ludwig von Mises. The imperialistic principle continually regains the upper hand. So no matter how carefully we organize ourselves along the lines of peace, the imperialists, the global dominionists, the super world government folk, those organized along war always get the upper hand because they resort to war. their principle is war. And so it just continues to repeat and to repeat and to repeat. The liberal principle cannot main itself against it until the inclination for peaceful labor inherent in the masses shall have struggled through to the full recognition of its own importance as a principle of social evolution. I like the writings of Ludwig von Mises. He's got a very clear mind. But at the same time, he's posing here something that is going to be exceedingly difficult, if possible. And he's pointing towards a principle of social evolution where the masses finally say, we've had enough of war. Is it possible? I don't know. Whenever the imperialist principle is in force, peace can only be very local and temporary. It never lasts longer than the facts which created it. Again, we're dealing with a man's mind here. We're at page 268 in a lengthy treatise coming, being written towards the end of his life. If this is the first you've ever heard of Ludwig von Mises, this is the smallest little segment that you could possibly get from this incredible intellect. Let's go on to it. The mental atmosphere which imperialism surrounds itself is little suited to the promotion of the growth of the division of labor within state frontiers. As I try and round out my mouth and lips today to speak properly and enunciate clearly, it practically prohibits the extension of the division of labor beyond the political military barriers which separate the states. We heard Eisenhower's farewell address warning against the military-industrial complex, a super-social disease in itself. Back to von Mises, the division of labor needs liberty and peace. In other words, if we're going to continue to sustain development, we must sustain liberty and peace. And yet, peace, peace, and there'll be no peace, the imperialists abhor peace, and the collectivists abhor liberty. So we're in a real problem here. It's a fine mess you've gotten us into this time, Ollie. Only when the modern liberal thought of the 18th century had supplied a philosophy of peace and social collaboration was the basis laid for the astonishing development of the economic civilization of that age, an age branded by the latest imperialistic and socialistic doctrines as the age of crass materialism, egotism, and capitalism. And yet, at no time in man's history has man flourished so strongly as during the 18th and 19th centuries. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. The socialists just don't really have it figured out. Nothing could be more perverted than the conclusions drawn in this connection by the materialist conception of history, which represents the development of social ideology as dependent on the stage of technical evolution which has been attained. Von Mises continues and he says, nothing is more erroneous than Marx's well-known saying, quote, the handmill produces a society with feudal lords, the steam mill, a society with industrial capitalists, close quote. Von Mises refutes that and says, it is not even formally correct to try and explain social evolution through the evolution of technique is merely to sidetrack the problem without in any way solving it. For on such a conception, how are we to explain technical evolution itself? So there's a whole bunch that we can, and we'll have to come back again and again and touch the writings of von Mises to understand. But as I mentioned before, a process that I like to use when I do my research begins with an understanding of the meanings and senses of the word that we're contemplating. And for that, I like to go to the dictionaries, both the legal dictionaries, Bouvier's and Black's and others, as well as the dictionaries of common language and common use, such as Webster's dictionaries or the American Heritage Dictionary and things like that. And then, of course, when I am doing research on a specific thing, I like to try and use dictionary meanings and senses. They're really not definitions. We define terms and we express the meanings and senses of the use of words, two different things. A word is not the same. It's not synonymous with term. I sometimes confuse them when I'm speaking rapidly, but I unfortunately have a wicked disease. I actually can speak faster than I can think. It gets me in trouble from time to time. Nevertheless, there are lots of other places that we can go, and so what I like to do is I like to start first with the dictionaries, and from the dictionaries then go into the encyclopedias, and then let the encyclopedias then lead me out to the authors. And so that's where we've kind of begun today. We've done our encyclopedic studies, we've done our dictionary word studies, now we're moving to some authors. Economists, intelligent men, people of influence. We've turned from Ludwig von Mises in his treatise on socialism to Milton and Rose Friedman in their book Free to Choose. A personal statement, they say, free to choose. And this is found early on in his book, in their book. And it's a subsection here titled The Role of Prices. Hey, we'll have to pick up The Role of Prices on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic food,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Lee Rogers here. The global controllers are continuing their quest to enslave humanity and form their new world order. The one thing standing in their way are free thinkers who reject collectivism and support individual liberty. In these troubled times, it is imperative that we the people are not destroyed for a lack of knowledge, but are instead empowered with information. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com are two of the best sources of alternative news and information on the internet. Whether it's geopolitics, globalism, government corruption, the unraveling global economy, staged elections, false flag terrorism, the technological control grid, martial law, the police state, or our issues of real significance, you'll find them on these websites. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistNews.com feature raw, fully sourced information with no intrusive advertisements. Be sure to visit these sites and empower yourself with the news and information the corporate control Mockingbird don't want you to know about.
Many people do not realize how effective a marketing tool it can be. CTWPromotions.com understands your needs. All of their campaigns are fully customized and targeted to each client individually. Whether you have a music-slash-business or a freedom-slash-patriot-related profile, CTW can and will help you get more out of your MySpace profile than you ever could yourself. Clients may typically receive upwards of 2,000 new targeted friends, fans, and networking partners per week. Visit their website to review real testimonials and more. Unlike many others, we guarantee legitimate work. Please visit or email MikeCTW at www.ctwpromotions.com or promotions@conquertheworld.com. Again, that website is www.ctwpromotions.com.
And we have returned right here on Become Vocal Local in the second hour of today's broadcast. I just begun the discussion of The Role of Prices, again by Milton and Rose Friedman. Interesting couple and interesting authors. First time I've read this book. I've had it in my library for years, but I'm back into it now, and I spent a lot of the weekend reading it. I agree with most of where they're coming from, although I have certain questions that develop in mind, but that's the way it goes when I read anybody's book, but this is not bad. This is The Role of Prices. And again, Ludwig von Mises was talking about the physiocrats and the classical economists. And I mentioned Adam Smith. And of course, if you're going to have to understand what The Wealth of Nations is. And if you haven't read those books, it's actually one very long book, the way that it's oftentimes found in bookstores. You can pick them up for cheap. It's not on the top of your bestseller list ordinarily. I got a wonderful two-volume set from Liberty Fund, Inc., and I treasure that set more so than the big one that I read first, largely because it's easier to handle in a paperback instead of one of these colossos that you need to bring a concrete block from the yard just to sit on top of it to hold it open. Nevertheless, this is out of this book, Free to Choose by the Friedmans, The Role of Prices. The key insight of Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations is misleadingly simple. If an exchange between two parties is voluntary, it will not take place unless both believe they will benefit from it. It's about the way we live, isn't it? If you got an extra car you want to sell, or I know I haven't to reply to the chat room, I haven't talked about John Locke today. But of course, anytime we're discussing any of this on air, we're really talking John Locke, life, liberty, and property, or Thomas Jefferson, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And here now we're talking about Adam Smith. And isn't this exactly the way it works in our lives? Again, if an exchange between two parties is voluntary, it'll not take place unless they both believe they'll benefit from it. You have a car and you want to sell it, or a trailer, or a vacuum cleaner, or a television. So you run an advertisement, or you set it out by the street, and people stop by for sale sign. And it goes back, and it's the same rule that I mentioned earlier, that the lowest price that a seller is going to accept and the highest price that a buyer is willing to pay will determine the price. Even if you say it's $1,000 for this car, he offers $800, you suggest $9, you agree on, you know, $850, and out and away it goes. And you've just determined what the price of that automobile was. But you both benefit from it. You got more than you thought because, you know, you only gave $500 for it. It took you a weekend to get it to run. And he gets a car for $850. Everybody's happy. But most economic fallacies, again, derive from the neglect of this very simple insight and from the tendency to assume that there is a fixed pie that one party can gain only at the expense of another. Every time you see the government pie chart, this is this idea of this fixed pie that one party can gain only at the expense of another. The idea of taxation, coercion, stealing. Let's go into this a little bit further. Again, this is the first few words that you may have ever heard of Milton and Rose Friedman. This key insight is obvious for a simple exchange between two individuals. It is far more difficult to understand how it can enable people living all over the world to cooperate to promote their separate interests. And what I discovered over the weekend, the beginning reading this book for the first time, was how openly and simply they write. So unlike Ludwig, where you really have to have your mental basket turned on full blast, with the Friedmans, you can just sit down and read a few pages and it makes sense. Here's some more of their common sense. The price system is the mechanism that performs this task without central direction, without requiring people to speak to one another or to like one another. When you buy your pencil or your daily bread, you don't know whether the pencil was made or the wheat was grown by a white man or a black man, by a Chinese or an Indian. As a result, the price system enables people to cooperate peacefully in one phase of their life while each one goes about his own business in respect of everything else. What you really wanted was a pencil or a loaf of bread, and you didn't need a box full of theology and philosophy and economics to make that happen. You just wanted the pencil. Thank you very much. Adam Smith's flash of genius, I like this, was his recognition that the prices that emerged from voluntary transactions between buyers and sellers, for short, in a free market, could coordinate the activity of millions of people, each seeking his own interest in such a way as to make everyone better off. Okay? Did you understand that? I'll say it again. It was Adam Smith's genius, his flash of genius, was his recognition that the prices that emerged from voluntary transactions between buyers and sellers in a free market could coordinate the activity of millions of people, each seeking his own interest in such a way as to make everyone better off. It was a startling idea then, and it remains one today, that economic order, key phrase, can emerge as the unintended consequence of the actions of many people, each seeking his own interest on a global scale, if I could throw it in there. The price system, continuing from the Friedman's here, the price system works so well, so efficiently, that we are not even aware of it most of the time. We never realize how well it functions until it is prevented from functioning, and even then we seldom recognize the source of the trouble. Now, in addition to the simplicity of this particular segment of this book, I also wanted to throw that in for this reason, because he's about to mention something that came up in our news articles. And I remember this, and perhaps you do too, the long gasoline lines that have suddenly emerged in 1974. Do you remember that, folks? The long gasoline lines that suddenly emerged in 1974. I'll throw in right there and say, I was working at a service station. I was working at a business. It was named University Chevron. And my employer, I'll just say his name is Bill or William. Bill was a prominent figure in the oil business, if you will, on a local level. As a result of his notoriety or his fame or his importance, our service station became a media hub during the entire period of these long gasoline lines, this price, the gas shortage of the 70s in 1974. And so I was just as likely to have news crews on the gas pump with me at the pump block, is what we called it, at the pump block, as I was likely to have lots of angry and irate purchasers, buyers and stuff. So we kept our whole service station, and in those days it was a service station, it wasn't a get and go, it was an actual service station where you could have your automobile serviced and lube, oil, tune-ups, batteries, tires, all of that, as well as fill up the tank with gasoline. You know, in those days we eventually got a couple of Coke machines and sold candy bars, but it wasn't a place where you could go and get hot sandwiches. Anyway, all of this is simply to say that I remember this time period very well, and I remember hearing from my employer that this whole shortage was contrived. Now, here we go. The long gasoline lines that suddenly emerged in 1974 after the OPEC oil embargo, and again in the spring and summer of 1979 after the revolution in Iran, are a striking recent example on both occasions that there was a sharp disturbance in the supply of crude oil from abroad. But that did not lead to gasoline lines in Germany or Japan, which are wholly dependent on imported oil. It led to long gasoline lines in the U.S., even though we produce much of our own oil. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
As America limps on its lost legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Learn how
to empower yourself and stop being a victim today.
You can practice complete banking secrecy, all while protecting your money and maintaining complete control over your finances.
The book Privacy Crisis has nearly 400 carefully researched pages that will teach you how to
live beneath the radar, escape stalkers, outwit identity thieves, prevent government phone tapping, stop criminals from hacking into your computer, make your money and assets invisible, stop wage garnishments, get a permanent driver's license, and much, much more.
You can sign up for Grant Hall's free info series at privacycrisis.com. Each course outlines powerful and proven strategies from one of the world's top privacy experts.
Here's your chance to begin learning what the pros know at privacycrisis.com. That website again is privacycrisis.com.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we are back, and certainly you may try and call in at 866-841-1065 if you want to weigh in on these topics today. Back to this discussion of the OPEC confusion or the oil embargoes of 74 and 79. I'll just, you know, when I think about the, all the manipulation that we have to live under in this country, the simplicity that's offered by free trade, for those who've ever bothered to even study anything about it. But to get out from underneath this managed trade system would be such a blessing. It was the system that made our country great, and it made so many countries around the world great. When Adam Smith wisely told the crown to set their colonies free, and they divested themselves worldwide of a lot of the interest in them. Of course, they still held the strings through the banks like they always do. God bless the Queen, right? But anyway, countries all over the world that had for a long time been under the jackboot of the imperialists for about 100 years or thereabouts as the Industrial Revolution got started, they really prospered and lived well. It was more than just the superabundance of land and natural resources that made America great initially. It was the completely free system that we had developed here that drew people from all over the world. And in those days, you didn't need a passport to travel from country to country. If you could sell yourself into bondage for 7 years or come as an indentured servant, or if you had some gold or some shekels in your pocket, you could get aboard a boat and make it here. And then once you got cleared up near the in the immigration coming in thing, once you got cleared there, you were free to go. It was good to go, and you didn't need a passport either. You just, whatever your name was fine, I would imagine. But all that's changed. All that's changed. Anyway, back in here, but that did not lead to gasoline lines in Germany or Japan again, which are wholly dependent on imported oil. It led to long gasoline lines in the United States, even though we produce much of our own oil, for one reason and one reason only. Because legislation administered by a government agency did not permit the price system to function. You have Paul Volcker in here talking about putting more regulations on, going back into the investment banking system and splitting that up again and throwing in new regulations. You know, I've said it repeatedly, I'll say it again in the future. It's like having, you know, getting stuck our government is like getting stuck with some small town football coach, and he only knows one play, right up the middle for 3 yards. And so instead of getting their heads out of their duffy and letting the markets work, always and forever, government in this country and around the world get in and they monkey with and put rules and regulations on trade and commerce and foul it up. I've had enough of it. I'm sure you have too. Prices in some areas were kept by command below the level that would have equated the amount of gasoline available to gas stations to the amount consumers wanted to buy at that price. So we saw around the United States, and just like last year and the year before, around the United States, you'd hear the high price out in California for gas and diesel, the high price for diesel in Missouri and in the cattle producing areas and in the places where the stockmen and the ranchers and the farmers work, high cost of diesel, because we all have diesel trucks, you know. They're much more economical. That's why we spent the extra thousands to buy those Cummins turbo diesel engines. Not because we wanted to pay more for diesel fuel. Diesel fuel has always been less expensive than gasoline. But the government, not being able to just allow free markets to work, have to manipulate the price of diesel fuel so that diesel has, for almost 2 years, been more expensive than gasoline, defying logic. Not only logic, but production costs. Anyway, ranting there. I should go doubt, 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 fear, 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 and worry, worry, worry. That way you'll get plenty of doubt, fear, and worry on this broadcast as well. The result was surpluses in some areas and shortages and plus long gas lines in others. The smooth operation of the price system, which for many decades had assured every consumer that he could buy gasoline at any of the large number of service stations at his convenience and with a minimal wait, was replaced by bureaucratic improvisation. God help us all. We can see that they cannot even make gasoline flow properly in this country, and we're supposed to trust Barry the usurper, Barry and the boys, with our entire economy and our relationship with the world economy? We're in trouble, folks. Prices perform three functions in an organized economic activity. First, they transmit information. The price transmits information. It tells you how much it's going to be. It also tells you a lot if you're following prices, as we do every day on the gold, the silver, the platinum, the palladium, and other indicators. We follow these prices because prices transmit information here, second. Second, they provide an incentive to adopt those methods of production that are least costly and thereby use available resources for the most highly valued purposes. They provide an incentive, the prices, to adopt the best methods of production and transportation, distribution. And then third, prices do this. They determine who gets how much of the product. It's the distribution of income. Not the redistribution of income along the collectivist model, where we just simply rob Peter endlessly to pay Paul. Not at all. Prices are a distribution of income based on inputs and outputs. And it's these three functions and their close interrelation that makes up much, if not most, of what people study when they study economics. All right, it's the information that the prices transmit, and again, it's price theory or demand theory. Either way, demand and price are interlinked and interdependent. But then he goes on and he talks about these three things in great detail. I want to jump over to another section here, if I can find it quickly enough. Let's see if we can find another interesting thing. Here we go. The Tyranny of Controls, another section out of Milton Friedman's book, Free to Choose. He says, and this is chapter 2, in discussing tariffs and other restrictions on international trade in his Wealth of Nations, Adam Smith wrote this. Again, Adam Smith, who is he? Why do you need to know about him? Why should you even be concerned? Why bother? Why bother? Somebody says, I'm cutting out. Maybe I'm cutting out. If I'm cutting out, come go with me. We'll have a good time where we wind up. But why even bother looking at Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations? Why even bother? Maybe because he had something to say that was valuable and important, and that he introduced a new economic model to an otherwise very old world. And in his economic models, he presented things that really worked, as opposed to John Maynard Keynes, the Keynesians, who believe that they, like any collectivist, that they can spend their way into prosperity. Adam Smith had not only excellent history, that's another good reason for reading his book, it's an excellent history. And it's such excellent history that when Karl Mordecai Marx wrote his Capitalism, he followed the same program. He followed the same model. I have read both, Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations and the great tome, equally huge tome, 2,700 pages, I think, in seven volumes, of Capitalism by Karl Mordecai Marx. And they both have lots of history in there. And so, because they were both working out of the similar libraries, they were both writing in England, we can learn much about history by reading these two books, but they come out, their conclusions are completely different, or vastly different, I should say. But here, listen to Adam Smith's words. Again, 1776, contemporary with our founders, at the beginning of this nation, Adam Smith, Francis Hutcheson, Thomas Jefferson, a lot of people had their brains turned on and they were doing the best they could with the tools, techniques, and time that they were living within. Here's Adam Smith. What is prudence in the conduct of every great family can scarce be folly in that of a great kingdom, period. I'll continue from his paragraph in a moment. But when we think about economy and a study of economics, it really begins at the same level that all of us begin understanding economy in our own households. And if we run our households wisely and prudently and temperately, our households will prosper. And what Smith is saying here is that what is prudence in the conduct of every private family can scarcely be folly in that of a great kingdom. In other words, a great kingdom, to rightly organize its economy, works as a household. We'll be right back.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over two decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Again, and in the chat room, there's discussion about the length of some of these texts. You know, Adam Smith's book, huge. Capitalism by Karl Marx, huge. You know, so many others, huge. You know, War and Peace, huge. Or so many other books, big books. And is it necessary to go through all of that? Well, it depends. You know, sometimes an author just likes to go on and on. And for those that go on and on, you know, those that like the author can read on and on with them. Other times there's a really big idea that's being expressed and it takes a lot of words to bring it out. Sometimes you've got a radical hypothesis and it takes a lot to try and prove the hypothesis. But we must understand and remember the sage words of wisdom from Aristotle, in such that they begin badly, they cannot help but end badly. And so if the premise is flawed in the beginning, as I believe Karl Mordecai Marx was flawed in his understanding in the beginning, it really matters little how many words come after that. If you start badly, you can't help but end badly, and 1,000 pages later doesn't make your error any better. In the case of Adam Smith, there was a lot of research that he conducted where he really started to formulate his ideas. So sometimes we just begin writing, and it's out of all of this writing that your best ideas come. But anyway, I can't speak the mind of anybody in the past. I can just barely speak my own mind on the air for 2 hours a day. But let's go back into this again, because what Adam Smith said is exactly right. What is prudence in the conduct of every private family can scarce be folly in that of a great kingdom. A good premise, a good hypothesis. If a foreign country can supply us with a commodity cheaper than we ourselves can make it, better to buy it of them with some part of the produce of our own industry employed in a way which we have some advantage. In other words, if we can buy something cheaper out from another country and we can use a smaller portion of our proceeds, if you will, to do so, by all means, you would do it in your own house, don't you? I mean, are you standing there at the tomato counter and you got tomatoes that look perfectly fine here and tomatoes that are perfectly fine there and they have different prices? You know, I can understand that in today's marketplace you'd want to say, well, is this a genetically modified tomato over here? Does it have some kind of weird killer genes in it? And is this one over here organically grown, vine ripened, and grown in America? Then you could say apples for there. You're not comparing apples and oranges, or you're not comparing tomatoes and tomatoes, you're comparing poison and tomato food. So, but prices, you do the same thing in your house, you know. Although I believe that if you're always, you know, just running on cheap on the price, that you're going to run into error. You might seek quality first instead of quantity, but that's my own opinion. Let's go back to Adam Smith. He was eminently more intelligent than I am. Okay. If in every country, it always is and must be the interest of the great body of the people to buy whatever they want of those who sell it cheapest. The proposition is so very manifest that it seems ridiculous to take any pains to prove it. Nor could it ever have been called in question had not the interested sophistry of merchants and manufacturers confounded the common sense of mankind. Their interest is in this respect directly opposite to that of the great body of the people. So here what Adam Smith is saying back in the 1700s, and that Milton Friedman wisely picked out and presented, is a very important line, and this is the line I'm going to repeat it again. He says here, let's see, the interested sophistry of merchants and manufacturers confounded the common sense of mankind. So even though we're dealing with something as profound as the Industrial Revolution, remember that the Lex Mercatoria or the law merchant, or the rise of the merchant classes, the end of the feudal kingdoms, if you will, the beginning of parliamentarianism, the beginning of the ascendancy of the artisans and the crafters and the guilds, it came with its own problems as well. Not everything is rosy there. We are now basically being ruled, again, back to the Saturday night Oracle Unplugged broadcast. We went about it quite a bit. But we're being ruled by the financiers and the captains of finance and industry in tandem and coordination with the environmentalist movements and special interests and special lobbies. But we all have special interests. We think that we've been singled out when special interests work against us. And we think we're blessed when our special interest prevails. So there's a lot to all of that. But it's not necessarily a truism to say that a rule by merchants is the best rule of all. Like politicians, merchants are driven by profit motives. Politicians are driven by power to profit, profit to power motives. It's not necessarily the best model. It's an alternate model. In the beginning, from von Mises, we were drawing the distinction between economies and a world organized on imperialism, grandeur, and war, as opposed to commerce. As I pointed out, Thomas Paine was cautioning the colonies and those that were following his republican models. He cautioned them about the problem with governments organized by war and admonished people to consider the opposite and organize themselves for commerce. But again, it's just two different ways of approaching. You know, having absolute rights and wrongs is a difficult place. It's hard for a radio host to advance absolutes, just as hard as it is for a preacher to advance absolutes, or economists or politicians or anyone. There is a kernel of truth in the philosophy of Auguste Comte when he questions some of these prior belief systems, and he says that everything is relative, and that's the only absolute. The only absolute is your opinion versus my opinion, that everything is relative. You know, what looks good to one person may not be looking good to the other person. What's good for one country may not be good for the other country. What one person considers to be a currency may not be held as a currency in the other country. One religion versus the whole thing. It's a test of relativity, relatives, as opposed to absolutes. Certain natural laws, the laws of nature and nature's God, there's the wisdom in the Declaration of Independence, that all men were created by certain inalienable or unalienable rights, written on the very heart and mind of man by the creator of the universe. And if we get down to it and can finally ever get around to taking all of the theological arguments and setting them on one side, and going through all the metaphysical arguments, setting them on one side, and all the positive arguments and setting them on another side, we come down to these basic natural law principles by which human beings, and that's a word in a study in itself, by which we the people, that's a word studying itself, by which man and woman live naturally as they were designed to by our Creator, versus all of the various things that we find ourselves living under, imposed by man. Man against man. Mano a mano. The real challenge. Looking forward into the 21st century, looking in, I hope, always into greater and greater freedom, more and more liberty, as opposed to more and more tyranny, more and more prosperity, I suppose. I think we have much to discuss. Who's right and who's wrong in all of these various and sundry arguments? My guess, if we work diligently, 24/7, 365, to advance a certain principle, and then we become the majority, and then we discover that our principle that we advance is just as much of a sack of garbage as the one we just got rid of, we've made a mistake. So maybe we need to take the time to figure out where we want to go in this century, and then come together in a common mind if we can, and work towards that end. I don't know. It's early in the morning. Lots of stuff happening yet today. More broadcasting throughout the day here on Oracle. Time to reflect, time to think, certainly time to take stock. This is daylight savings time. Maybe we should make the most of our daylight savings time. Make the most out of today. Do some homework, do some research, but don't forget, become vocal local. Almost all of the politics happens on the local level. Your voluntary compliance, your silence is consent. If you sit back and do nothing, then you buy this new time period. Your public buy-in, you become complicit in the tyranny of the 21st century. Hey, until tomorrow, have a great day. We'll be back then and go into this stuff even deeper then. So then, goodbye.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.